Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the CHIP programs, the Coronary Health Improvement Project offered across the country and around the world. So get ready to feel better, think clearer, and enjoy a closer walk with God. I'm your CHIP Health host, Charles Mills. Before our guest today retired and moved to Washington State, he was a very successful and much sought-after OBGYN in Rockford, Illinois. His patients trusted his judgment and followed his guidance faithfully. But there came a time when that guidance came under scrutiny, not by the patients, but by the physician himself. Dr. Eric Schadl decided that there had to be more to healthcare than pushing pills or prescribing hormone replacement therapy. That's when things got interesting. I've asked Dr. Schadl to join us on today's broadcast to talk about what he learned and how he altered his approach to making people well. Dr. Schadl, welcome to CHIP Health.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, tell us about your journey from, as Dr. Diehl says, from pills to peas.
Yes, well, I guess it started when Swedish American Hospital in Rockford, Illinois, the main hospital that I worked out of, brought Dr. Diehl to town, and he put on a what he called a fast track program, a 2-day, 8 hours each day. So it was pretty comprehensive, I guess, but. A 2-day program looking at some of the health principles of how we could make decisions regarding our lifestyle to take control of our health. And it just made sense. He wasn't selling any pills or any supplements. He was just giving information and quoting literature from peer-reviewed journals. Yeah. And in the journey where I was at, and it just made sense. And so we, my wife and I and our family, started following his recommendations, the CHIP program, Coronary Health Improvement Project. And, from my own perspective, I lost 25 pounds without even without even trying. I wasn't counting calories. I was just eating healthy food, and I started exercising, and I started feeling better than I'd ever felt before, or at least for very many years. And so I started looking at how I do my practice, and simple things that I'm always just prescribing pills for, and I realized that many of these things could be solved by a lifestyle change.
Well, let's talk about that as an OBGYN. Make the connection about what you could offer your patients in that area by changes in their diet. What's going on there?
Well, the simplest thing, and it's so simple that it sounds almost crazy, but as an OBGYN, I obviously deal with a lot of pregnant patients. Sure. And constipation is a big problem in pregnancy. For many women, it's because of some hormonal changes as well as some of the vitamins, iron, for example, that we give them. And so it becomes a big problem. It's also a problem for patients after surgery, so that we want their bowels to start moving and not to cause undue stress on incisions in the abdomen and have too much intra-abdominal pressure. So this would be a common issue that I would deal with, and I always prescribe medications for it, stool softeners and laxatives and all these things. And all of a sudden, I realized that if I just spent 5 minutes explaining to them even just a healthy breakfast that would have 10 or 15 grams of fiber, and then tell them that, you know, if you just make a couple simple changes, even just in the kind of bread you eat, you can easily get up to 30 to 40 grams of fiber a day. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they had no constipation problems.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't the standard American diet sort of cover that area nicely?
The standard American diet is about 10 grams of fiber a day, and we know that we need at least 35, if not 40 grams or more, of fiber a day to be healthy, to relieve a variety of issues, not just constipation. So when we start eating more fiber, and so the standard American diet would have 10 grams in an entire day, and I, in 5 minutes, can explain to my patients how they can get 10 or 15 grams for breakfast. And most Americans get zero for breakfast,
yes,
because they eat eggs and bacon and white toast or something, or nothing. Or so I know people that have a cup of coffee and a cookie.
Yeah.
And they get no fiber at all. And so just giving my patients that advice got me so many praises from them. They'd come back and say, man, I feel so much better. This is great. I didn't have to take any pills.
Yeah.
And I just eat a little differently here, and I don't have any constipation. Thank you so much.
And you said, well, you're very welcome.
Right. Yeah. That didn't cost much, did it?
Well, you know, this is amazing because people are surprised to learn, I think, and you probably can give story after story on this, how absolutely easy and simple it is to make some pretty major adjustments in your health.
Yeah, absolutely.
My.
Yeah, people think it's so difficult, but literally, if you just look at an issue like fiber, literally within 5 minutes, you can help somebody change just that one thing.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of other things that go into it, and that's why the CHIP program lasts for 4 weeks and four nights a week, but because there are a lot of things that we can learn that can make a difference. But we can put some simple things into simple changes that are really painless that can make a big difference.
Dr. Schadl, how did we get here? When we as Americans look at our report card for our health and we see D- and some failures there, and at the best, maybe a C-, how on earth did we become the kind of people we are today?
Well, I think we get there, you know, maybe one generation at a time almost.
Uh-huh.
But the wealthier we became as a country, the more refined our food became, and when we refine food, we lose the fiber, we lose a lot of nutrients, and we start relying more on just not only refined food, but animal products that don't have the fiber, and before we know it, our diet is completely out of balance from what we really need. And then we start getting into, I think when we get out of balance, the body starts craving certain nutrients, and we supply those cravings with more sugar and fat, and then it just gets into this vicious circle. But not only that, it's our whole medical system revolves around intervention with medications, with pharmacology, with surgery. And a lot of that is good. When you need surgery, then it's a good thing to be in a hospital in this country.
Sure.
And have a good surgeon.
Yeah.
But we have, as a people, I think, as a culture, have abdicated our responsibility for taking care of our health to the medical care system, which is not designed to maintain health. It's designed to intervene once we have disease.
Now, when you say design, are you meaning they're not trained to do that?
Not trained to do that, uh-huh. Not interested in doing that, and there's no money in doing that. It's very hard to make a living educating people. Just ask the teachers of America.
That's true.
And so if a doctor wants to be an educator, where in his or her office they primarily give education and not pills and surgery, then it's hard to build very much for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Is this something that is happening more rapidly, and is it surprising? In other words, are people grasping this? Is the medical profession grasping the truth of nutrition and lifestyle, or are they dragging their feet?
I am quite optimistic. I think that they are starting to see this more and more, and as we start developing a paradigm shift away very slowly, not fast enough for me, but I am seeing the beginning of a paradigm shift away from simply disease management to a role for prevention.
Mm.
And as we look at prevention more and more, then that will be the key. The problem that in medicine is that we've given lip service a lot of years to prevention. And what kind of prevention do we do? We only do prevention where we can make where we are in total control of it,
mm-hmm.
and where we can make money at it. So in my field, Pap smears.
Mm-hmm.
Pap smear is a detective. It's a detection program to find very early precancerous type cells on a woman's cervix, and then I can do procedures, treatments to get rid of that. And we tout that as our main preventive program, or mammography we tout it as a preventive program, but it's not. Sometimes we tout it that way, but it's an early detection program.
Mm.
Are these things good? Well, of course they're good, and we should continue them. But that doesn't go near far enough. What we need to do is empower people to make decisions that will create better health, and then they are under health is in their control. Then
you wouldn't need the Pap smear. You wouldn't need the intervention at all.
You don't need the intervention.
Yeah.
I may still recommend Pap smears, but and some of these things, maybe even mammograms. But it's. You know, if we are taking control of our own health by the choices we make, we're going to have less cancer. We're going to have less heart disease. We're going to have less diabetes, et cetera. And that's what it's really all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're going to take a short break right now, Dr. Tatel. When we come back, if I want to talk about pregnant women who might be listening to this program right now. What does the lifestyle issues that were presented in the CHIP program that you now support and you learned and went through yourself, what do these have for ladies who are about to increase the population in our country? We'll find that out on our return, so everybody stay right where you are. Did you know that certain foods can make you beautiful? And those foods aren't on the menu at your local fast food restaurant. Unrefined, starchy foods, not protein-rich foods, are what turn human bodies into beautiful, healthy works of art. They are the premium fuel that keeps you going, growing, and overcoming disease. The road to better health is paved with potatoes, whole wheat pastas, brown rice, beans, and whole grain breads.
I'm Dr. Hans Dior, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
Hi, I'm Renee Mitchell. CHIP woke me up and gave me a new life. I am now 65 pounds lighter and losing weight, eating more, but eating the right foods. And it's easy and comfortable.
For more information about the Coronary Health Improvement Project and to find resources to help you live a healthier, happier life, visit chiphealth.org. That's chiphealth.org. We're talking with Dr. Eric Schadel. He's a retired physician and a consultant for the Catholic Medical Center in Richland, Washington, and he's also a CHIP program director for that area. Not only is Dr. Schadel a CHIP program director. He's also a CHIP graduate. He went to the program years ago and learned some wonderful things and changed his life in ways that brought about wonderful changes for him and his family. Dr. Schadl, as an OBGYN, you have spent your life dealing with ladies who are having children. Is there anything you've learned in the CHIP program? You've talked about fiber. That you've learned in the CHIP program that could directly affect the health of the unborn child?
Well, I think that when we eat food that has more fiber in it, fiber is kind of, is really a marker for other nutrients and antioxidants that we don't get otherwise that provide health, just generalized health. And so, yeah, fiber helps us directly, but it also, like I said, is a marker. And so some of those things that a woman does get is she gets the antioxidants that helps fight infection. I mean, she just gets them in, well, it's the only way she can get most of those is through plant foods. And so then there's can actually, the baby can actually have a head start in life as she gives the baby the antibodies and the natural mechanisms to fight infection through breast milk, et cetera, as well as staying healthier herself during the entire pregnancy.
So you're saying that the woman really, for that unborn child, is the system of delivery of good stuff or bad stuff to that child. There's no other way of doing it.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. It's so you want a healthy mother in order to have a healthy child.
Mm.
If the mother is very unhealthy, eating poorly, that is what's going to be given to the baby. And so I think that we predispose our babies to things like heart disease, as well as diabetes, and I'm sure many other things, by the way we eat. We've even found fetuses to have trace amounts of plaque buildup. Now, these would be stillborn babies, and do an autopsy on, and there's now evidence of plaque buildup. So that can happen, which is just outrageous.
Amazing.
And that's happening because the mother is eating a high cholesterol, high fat, low fiber diet.
Babies with plaque buildup in utero.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
I had never heard that. That is amazing. That is amazing. In other words, if that mother is eating the standard American diet with all the refined foods and all the cholesterol-laden foods, which are basically meat and egg and dairy products, that can affect the arteries of the child.
Right, yeah. You know, they're not clogged up.
Right,
they,
right.
They have streaks of plaque
amazing.
On them that is really, obviously, it's too bad.
Amazing, amazing.
I also found that mothers are quite lactose intolerant during their pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you force them to drink cow's milk, they don't feel so good, and they don't do so good. And you can actually sensitize the baby to that. So it's just an education process. I don't know how many mothers were so thankful when they found out that they didn't have to drink milk because they were told that they had to drink milk in order for their baby to be healthy, cow's milk. But they don't. In fact, they do much better without it. So there's a lot of things that can help, that the CHIP program can help in pregnant mothers.
I almost have to laugh. I shouldn't laugh, but you know, people are actually saying that in order for a mom to have a healthy baby, she needs to drink the milk of another species.
That's right. Yes.
Oh my. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we'll move on. Let's talk about hormone replacement therapy. What's latest on this? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, it's an ever-changing field, and yet it, in some ways and in other ways, it hasn't changed since the Woman's Health Initiative several years ago showed that there's actually an increased risk of breast cancer and heart disease if you take progesterone, which one needs to take progesterone if they still have a uterus and they're taking estrogen, because estrogen by itself absolutely increases the risk for uterine cancer.
Yeah.
When you add the progesterone to prevent uterine cancer, you increase your risk for breast cancer. But not only that, it does not reduce the risk for heart disease. In fact, it can even increase the risk for stroke. And so there's no reason, in my opinion, to to universally go on hormone therapy.
Okay.
By that I mean to prescribe every woman as soon as she becomes menopausal to prescribe estrogen for her.
Okay. All right. And I'm sure there are women right now who are saying, Dr. Schadl, hot flashes, night sweats, what's going on here? How do I help this?
Right. That can be a difficult problem. And it really has to do with the drop in estrogen, not the absolute level. So if you have really high estrogen and it drops, say, let's just say it drops by 3X, then that is going to be a big change in what your body sees in the estrogen. And so you're going to feel symptoms, as opposed to somebody who has a 1X drop or a 0.5X drop.
Sure, sure.
Then it's going to, you're not near as likely to have hot flashes. Well, the facts are that about 30% of women have hot flashes that bother them.
Yeah.
Another 30% have hot flashes that are kind of moderate or not too bad, and then there's 30% that have hot flashes that doesn't bother them a bit, or no hot flashes, so or a few hot flashes, and the rest of the women don't have any. You know, so we're really dealing with 30% of the population of women, and that's still a significant number that will have a fair amount of symptoms.
Are there other items on the shopping list of the typical American woman that needs to be checked if she wants to have a healthy baby? I'm thinking, of course, about like coffee and wine and even some medications, off-the-shelf medications.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend to no alcohol. We know there's something called fetal alcohol syndrome, and that affects babies, their growth, and even their emotional well-being later in life. So I don't think there's any place for alcohol in pregnancy. As far as caffeine is concerned, it definitely causes constriction of the arteries. It, if consumed, in larger amounts, more than say three or four cups of coffee a day, it can reduce blood flow and may cause stunting of the growth of the baby. And we don't know, it may have some effects of ADD, those kind of things, though. That's not proven. By and large, I would say to stay away from medications over the counter as much as possible. There's so many different ones. I would always talk to my physician about a medication before I used it.
Now, this is slightly off of the area of Chip, but I want to ask you this because of who you are and what you've done. It seems today that people more and more are having babies by cesarean section. In other words, it's almost like we're going to schedule it for next Thursday and we're going to do it. Is there a difference between a baby that's born that way, that, or I say is delivered that way, than waiting for natural childbirth to happen at nature's time?
It's the most obvious issue is the babies that are born by C-section have more fluid left in their lungs, and they have a harder time breathing. They can get infected more easily and cause more problems. There's some technical terms that we could use, but the bottom line is they do have more problems breathing. They could have more additional problems if they really are taken prematurely, even by a week or two, if there's no other indication that needs to happen. Sometimes we have done it. It's been known to be done out of convenience, even the convenience of the mother.
Sure,
The mother begs to have the baby taken and just get the baby out of me. I'm so uncomfortable. But you're always much better off waiting for labor to happen. Unless you're going overdue, and then sometimes we have to intervene.
Okay, very good. Well, in just a couple of minutes we have left on this program, as a consultant at the Catholic Medical Center in Richland, Washington, apparently you have found some kindred spirits within the medical profession there?
Yes, this has been quite a progressive area, and the hospital supports the program financially and in every way they can. There are several physicians who are very, very supportive of it. They refer their patients to the program and follow the program quite carefully. So it's been a very rewarding union with the hospital, Catholic Regional Medical Center here in Richland.
All right. Dr. Eric Schadl, he's a retired physician and consultant for the Catholic Medical Center in Richland, Washington. Dr. Schadl, thank you so much for being with us today. You have opened our eyes to our part, our responsibility in making better babies, and we appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad I could be here.
And he's also a CHIP program director in that area. Listener, I want to invite you to stop by a couple of websites in the next few minutes after the program is over. www.chiphealth.org. Here you can find if the CHIP program is coming to your area. Also, some other good information is available there. Also, chiphealth.com, that's the official website of the Coronary Health Improvement Project. There are scientific research papers that Dr. Schadl has mentioned there that impressed him as he got into this program as well as a physician. And other resources available, cookbooks, you name it, it's all there to help you live a better life. That's what it's all about, because you make those choices. Thank you so much for being with us today, and until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Eric Schadl, inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.